All right, we'll go ahead and continue with Utah coach Kyle Whittingham. The Utes are home hosting USC on Friday night. We'll go ahead and take questions for coach.
To ask coach a question, please press star one. And your first question comes from the line of Ted Sabell, Sports USA Radio.
Coach, let's talk about your Friday nighter here. First of all, how does it come into play with a little shorter week? And it's a conference opener, revenge game. You got a lot of interesting notes in this one.
Yeah, we got first Pac-12 contest, and we got USC coming to town, and it's obviously a big game. All the conference games are big games, but I think we've had a great week of preparation. You mentioned a short week, same circumstances for USC, so there really is no advantage disadvantage, either way there. But we've got a model that we follow for short weeks, whether it be a Thursday game or a Friday game, And so we're just going through our usual paces. Nothing different about this week than how we've handled these situations in the past. And hopefully we'll be ready to play, and we'll see what happens.
How about facing a freshman quarterback with not a lot of film to review him on?
Yeah, there's about 52 snaps he's played this year, so we do have a small body of work. We've also been looking at his high school tape, when he was a senior down there in San Clemente, and we recruited Sam. We know a lot about him. We recruited him very hard coming out of high school, and so we were very aware of his skill set. But he's looked good on tape. He's got a big arm. He's mobile, and he's a great athlete. I mean, he's a great athlete in high school, and he's a guy that can hurt you a couple different ways.
How much, though, is the revenge factor coming into play here? The guys must be really jacked up for this.
Yes and no. I mean, we had a lot of graduation last year, so this is almost a completely different team in a lot of respects. But our guys are fully aware that it's an important game, and to get off on the right foot in Pac-12 play is important. We were 6-0 last year when we played them, and they kind of took our momentum away with that loss. We didn't play particularly well. We turned the ball over a bunch of times. So hopefully we can play a little cleaner this year and see what happens.
Thanks, Coach. Appreciate it.
Okay, you got it.
And your next question comes from the line of David Ubin, Sports on Earth.
A couple years ago, you guys had a player who had dropped the ball before he came into the end zone. Can you kind of walk me through that from your perspective and then how you handled it in the kind of the immediate aftermath and then the days after?
Yeah, well, first of all, it was unfortunate, but these young men are really, they're part kid. I mean, they're only 18 to 22 years old typically, and you can't expect old heads on young shoulders. What we did is it was a teaching moment. It was pivotal playing the game. Obviously, it changed the momentum completely in the game, but nobody felt worse than our guy that dropped the ball, and he realized he had made a mistake, and I don't believe in berating the kid or dragging him through the press with derogatory statements or anything like that. So we used it as a teaching moment, and he was never, it was never a problem again from that point forward, and he was a good player for us, really good player for us, played a lot of good football after that for us. And so it's just one of those things that happens, and it's, you wonder how it can ever happen because it's so basic and fundamental, but it does. And so we addressed it, and we moved on. So that's how we handled it.
How did you address it with the team? What's kind of the message?
Well, it was, first of all, here, learn from this. I mean, we can't fool us once, but not twice. We can't make this mistake again. And from that point on, you hand the ball to the ref, and that's, kind of what I think, Coach Dykes, I heard over at Cal, made that same statement. You have a team policy that when you get in the end zone, you hand the ball to the ref, and then there's no debate or no issue with that. And so that's how we addressed it, is just instituting a team rule that all touchdowns are followed by handing the ball to the ref. And they forget from time to time, and you got to keep reminding me. It's constant instruction. People need to be reminded far more often than they need to be instructed. And so got to remind them, what our procedure is.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
Okay.
And your next question comes from the line of Cal Goon, Salt Lake Tribune.
Yeah, Coach, I was just wondering if you, maybe you could go into the process a little bit about how you guys got Tim Patrick to the university. It sounds like he had a lot of academic work to do when you initially recognized him as a possible talent.
He did. That's exactly how it went down, is he was overlooked by a lot of schools. Not necessarily overlooked, but passed by because they just didn't feel that he was going to get the work done. And our coaches did their homework and understood that if he really got after it, he would be able to get it completed in time by the season. And this is a couple seasons ago now we're talking about. But so we recognized his talent. I mean, he was a big-time player, we thought. And so we decided to take the risk and stick with him. Now, we didn't sign him on signing day back in February. You know, we said, hey, if you get the work done, we will have a scholarship for you. And so that's kind of how that went down. And he ended up buckling down and getting everything completed. And it was, you know, it was a big win for us because we got ourselves a very good player. And he's done very well since he's been here.
And do you recall sort of how he buckled down and maybe how the staff stayed on top of him? And just sort of as a second thought, how does your staff make decisions like that on really borderline academic kids?
Yeah, well, first of all, it's you know, our staff is very hands-on, and there was constant communication with Timmy and making sure that he was doing his part and getting all the work done and staying on top of things. And as far as guys in that situation, it's you know, it's a best guess scenario, not best guess, but it's a judgment call, and you got to decide, you know, is it worth our time and effort to you know, invest all the sheer manpower into trying to help this kid see it through. And you know, we've had a lot of players in this program that had quite a bit of academic work to do that we took chances on, and they don't all pan out. Sometimes they end up not getting it done. But we've had a lot of good players come through this program that have had a lot of uphill academic battles. Devontae Booker is another one. You know, he was a guy that we signed and didn't make his academics that first season. We used that as a redshirt year, and he ended up getting it completed. And Bassoni Tassini, the same thing, our defensive tackle. So there's a lot of guys that we have, I don't want to say stuck our necks out for, but took a calculated gamble or calculated risk, and it ended up working out for us.
Thank you.
Okay.
And your next question comes from the line of Joey Kaufman, Orange County Register.
Kyle, you guys coached Stevie Tuikolovatu last couple of years. What kind of impact did he have when he played for you guys, and what do you remember about him?
Oh, he's a good player. He's a good player, and he decided to transfer, and that's pretty much where I'll leave it. You know, he thought he had a better opportunity somewhere else, but he's a good player.
One of the things Clay mentioned is he's been a good leader for USC's young defensive line. Did you notice that when he played for you guys?
A very mature kid, yeah. He was an older kid. He served an LDS mission, and so he was 23, 24 years old when he left here. And so, he had some leadership qualities about him that were very evident.
Thanks.
And your next question comes from the line of Wendell Bornhouse, today's U.com.
My question was asked and answered earlier. Thank you.
Okay.
And your next question comes from the line of Kevin Gimble, ESPN.com.
Hey, Coach, I know some coaches like to keep their quarterbacks close to the vest and not make an announcement, and obviously Coach Helton goes and makes an announcement on a Monday. Does that matter to you in terms of who it is actually going to be in terms of your preparation? Do you like the idea of some coaches keeping it quiet? I know in the past you've been a little, you know, iffy about whether you want to announce who your guys are. Were you surprised that he made the announcement so early in the week?
You know, everybody handles their situations differently, and I think that, first of all, he's got two quarterbacks that are pretty darn talented and fairly similar. They're not complete, polar opposites as far as their skill sets, and so it wasn't, in our estimation, any impact on our game planning or anything like that. You know, if you have a quarterback where one is a pure pocket guy and one's a more of a dual threat, then you may want to keep that under wraps until game day. And, you know, I think the rule of thumb is, you know, why announce anything that is going to help your opponent? And, you know, that's the object is to win. And so
sure,
there's no reason to tip your hand if it's going to be a, you know, have an impact. And so, but, you know, like I said, those two quarterbacks, they're both on tape and they both, you know, they don't change the offense dramatically depending on which one was in there. And so I don't think in this case that it really was any type of a competitive disadvantage for him to announce it.
Gotcha. Thanks, Tom.
Okay.
And your next question comes from the line of Ted Sobel, Sports USA Radio.
Coach, just a thought that you mentioned the turnover in your team this year a bit. You know the importance it is of a physical matchup against SC. How different is it this year than last year, especially defensively?
Well, they're always a tough matchup every year. I mean, they've got tremendous talent, and that's something that's a recurring theme. We've never, ever, you know, we've only been in the league 6 years, going on 6 years now, but it seems to be the same talent level year after year. Now we feel like we're since we joined the league at the best place we've been as far as talent on our own roster, and so that would lend itself to maybe having some better matchups. But still, they've got a lot of speed, a lot of size, a lot of athleticism, and it's a tough matchup regardless of what our situation is. But like I said, we feel like we're on more of a level playing field now than we have ever been in the last 6 years. But we'll find out.
I assume you're expecting your blackout uniforms to be the edge this week, right?
Yeah, I'm not a big uniform guy, but our players sure get excited about them, so if that gives them a little boost, then I'm all for it.
All right, thanks, Coach. Good luck.
Okay, you got it.
Okay, that'll do it for today, Kyle. Appreciate it. Full house here for you, so good luck this weekend.
Okay, thank you. Take care.
You bet.